Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love. Thank you for your compassion toward us. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for giving us dominion over all the works of darkness, over all the powers of darkness. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for giving us successes, breakthroughs, and prosperity. Thank you for drawing us closer to yourself. Thank you for all our prayers that you have answered. Thank you for covering us under your wings, shielding us from deadly attacks of the enemy. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all the things you have taught us here during Bible study classes. We thank you for how these truths have shaped our lives into the kind of persons you want us to be. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for making your scriptures very easy for us to understand. I thank you for giving us many revelations from your scriptures. Thank you, Lord. We are here this evening to learn more from you, both the speaker and the hearers. We are here to learn from you. I ask that you minister to our hearts by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Give us enlightenment in Jesus' name. Open our hearts to receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding right here, right now, in Jesus' name. And let us be so filled with your knowledge such that we will become very bold to teach others the same thing we have learned from you. Let us become so empowered by your knowledge, so controlled by your knowledge, such that we'll go out there and teach others the same thing we have learned from you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do more than we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching on backsliding. Last Tuesday, we were supposed to take a topic, but because of time, we didn't take that topic. So we're going to start from that particular topic now. Yeah, we were supposed to look at double-mindedness and wavering, but we couldn't because of time. Yeah, so let's continue from this place now. Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 2 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 2 and 14. That is chapter 25, verse 2 and verse 14. I believe you are opening your Bibles over there. Second Chronicles 25, verse 2 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart." Yeah, can you see that? Not with a perfect heart. And the person being referred to here is called Amaziah. He was one of the kings in Israel, Amaziah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now let's look at verse 14. "Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them." You can see this verse 14 confirmed what was said in verse 2, that this man did not serve God with a perfect heart. Yeah. In fact, let me read verse 15 for you. Yeah, because that is absolute foolishness and stupidity. Yeah, let me read verse 15 for you. "Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand. Yeah. Can you see why I said what this king did was absolute foolishness and stupidity? Yeah, because the same God he was bowing down to couldn't deliver the Edomite from his hand, because he went to capture the land of the children of Saul, of Esau. Yeah, the children of Esau. They are the Edomites. He went to go and attack that country, and he defeated them. Yeah, he wasted them. Yeah, you know, in those days when you conquer a country, you take spoils. Yeah, you can decide to take all of them as slaves. You can do whatever you want with the people there. Yeah, you can do whatever you want with the children, with the women that are there. Carry, you can take away all their treasures, take away even their gods. Yeah. So this king, I don't know what he has heard about the God of the Edomites. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you have heard that the God performs some magic. I don't know what he has heard about those gods. And then he went in the name of the Lord, conquered the land, and then brought those gods to Israel and started to bow down to the gods. Yeah, now if those gods were that powerful, why was he able to conquer the people? Yeah, because if you're going to call something a god, that thing or that being or creature must be powerful enough to take care of you and to defend you in trouble, in times of trouble. Yeah, you must be able to call upon that God and he will arise and defend you and fight for you. Yeah, and protect you. And then a God is also someone that is responsible to take care of those that serve him, to feed them, to help them. Yeah. So the fact that he could conquer the children of Monsia, which are the children of Esau, the fact that he could conquer them already proves that the God they serve are dead or are too weak to defend the people that have been serving them. Yeah, the fact that Amaziah and his soldiers could conquer the Edomite already have, to someone that is in his right mind or someone with the right senses, that should already confirm to that person that the gods in this land are so weak, because if they are so powerful, they would have protected these people. They would have prevented me from conquering these people that have been worshipping them. Yeah, but I don't know why he was so foolish. He couldn't think like that. Yeah, but what I'm sure of is that something have been going on in the heart of this king, Amaziah. Yeah, that was why the Bible started with, he did what was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. So something has been going on in his heart before that verse 14. So meaning that somewhere in his heart have been craving for idols or craving for other gods. Though he liked the Almighty God. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know how much he liked the Almighty God, but we saw that he really liked God, the true God, the God of Israel. He liked that one, but he still has some desire in his heart for other God. Yeah, and then those desires came into physical manifestation when he went to attack the Edomite. That was when his true intention became known. Yeah. So, and the same thing applies to many Christians today. They have some places in their heart that is still half that darkness. Some parts of them, or some parts of their heart, of their soul, of their souls, are still half that darkness. Still after other gods, still after idols. Yeah, until a situation will happen that to reveal that darkness that has been inside of them. Yeah, though presently it may look like they are good Christians, they love God, they worship God, they sing worship. They dance, they praise God, they know the Bible, they have memorized many verses of the Bible. Yeah, there are many things you may see in their lives and say in your heart that, oh, this person is doing well. This person is doing what is right in the sight of God. But then let a situation happen. Yeah, a situation that would reveal the darkness that is in their soul, that will bring it out to the public. Then you'll be so shocked, and then you'll be thinking, is this not the person that I thought was a true Christian? Is this not the person that I thought really loved God? Is this not the person that I thought would sacrifice anything to please God? Yeah, it, you know, The situation that brought out the darkness in such Christians actually came from God. Yeah, that situation came from God. Yeah, because God wants, you know, God hates snakes. God hates serpents. Yeah, and who are serpents? serpents are people who are hypocrite. Yeah, Jesus called some people, both Jesus and John the Baptist, called some people in the Bible viper. Yeah, so these are people that are hypocrite. Yeah, they have double nature, double mind. Yeah, they are neither of the light and neither of the dark. Or, of course, they are dark, but they are not. How do I put it now? They are not appearing as dark. They are dark, or they are of the darkness, but they are not appearing as dark. And yet they want to identify with the light, and at the same time want to identify with the dark. Yeah, that is not possible. Yeah, they may try to do that here, but up there in the sight of God or in the presence of God, they are nothing but snakes, serpents, vipers, deceivers, liars, hypocrites. That is who they are before God. But here, they can practice that deception here. Yeah, but they can't practice that in the sight of God, because you can't hide who you are in the sight of God. You can't. The presence of God exposes the darkness in people. So God sees people for who they really are, because He can see into their heart. Yeah. So God most times uses situations to bring out the darkness that is inside the hearts of so-called Christians and ministers of God. Yeah, because He wants many people to know who they really are, because these people, they know how to hide their real personality. Yeah, they know how to hide, just the way snakes know how to hide. So these people, they know how to hide their real personalities. So therefore, God most times would create situations or send some situations into their lives, or make some situations happen to them that will bring out that part of them they have been hiding. And that was what happened to this king, Amaziah. Yeah. Since there's a part in his heart that has been wanting to worship other gods, to serve other gods, to try other gods, and see how powerful they are. And then he found himself in a situation where he could just take those guns. And that was why he took those guns from the battlefield and brought them home to bow before them. I pray that your heart will be perfect in the sight of God. In Jesus' Another thing I've discovered is that money usually reveals the darkness that is inside of people. Yeah, the darkness inside of people. Money reveals that, and not only that, power also reveals the darkness inside of people. And not only that, even marriage. Marriage also can reveal the darkness inside of people. Yeah, and many other things. And yeah, and even fame or popularity can also reveal the darkness in people. Yeah, some people, they were very, you know, let me not say they were. They appear to be very, very humble and very nice when they didn't have money. Yeah, but when they were opportune to now have a lot of money, then who they really are now came out. Yeah, and then some people, before they got married, they appear to be good persons. Yeah. But then after they got married, they became something else. Now, it's not like money made them become something else. Neither is it that marriage made the other set of people become something else. Yeah, the fact is that those things only brought out who they really are. I don't know if I get to my point. That's something else that they became. I've been inside of them. Yeah, before money came. Yeah, the darkness have been inside of them before money came. So money only came to bring it out. So it's not as if money changed them. Money did not change them. They have been evil. They have been wicked before money came. Yeah, the same thing with power. Some Christians, they appear to be very humble, very meek, very nice, very good, very kind. Before God gave them power to perform miracles. Yeah, now after the power to work miracles came, that power brought out the darkness that have been in them. Yeah. And then suddenly they became so proud, and they even went further to try to merchandise the power. Yeah, they tried to turn the power into money, or use the power, the influence of the power, to make money. When God gave power for them to win souls, to save lives, to change lives, to set the captives free, they now began to look for how to use the power to enrich themselves. Yeah, and some, they were using the power to promote themselves. Yeah, so my point is that we should be careful and we should determine to have and fight that is perfect in the sight of God, or perfect towards God. Be careful to build a perfect heart. I don't know if I should put it like that. Yeah, be careful to present a perfect heart before God. Because if you don't, the darkness in you will disgrace you eventually. It will shame you. Yeah, the darkness in you will bring shame upon you eventually. If you continue to nurture that darkness. Yeah, but if you cry out to God and say, God, I want to follow you with a right heart, with a perfect heart. Help me, deliver me. God is going to answer that prayer. Yeah, but if you feel comfortable with your imperfect heart, your deceptive heart, a time will come when a situation will expose your darkness to the public. Yeah, and it will be to your shame and disgrace. So make sure that you have a pure heart towards God. Once again, we are looking at the topic that says double-mindedness and wavering. Double-mindedness and wavering. The King Amaziah in 2 Chronicles 20, chapter 25. Was a double-minded man. Yeah. I pray you will not be a double-minded Christian. In Jesus' name. Now, let us also look at Psalm 78, verse 8 to 9. Psalm 78, verse 8 to verse 9. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Yeah, can you see that? That is the generation of the Israelites. Yeah, they are always rebellious. Now, verse 9. The children of Ephraim being harmed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. I pray you will not turn back in the day of battle. When God wants you to fight and win, I pray you will not turn back, you will not surrender to the enemy, or surrender to your fear. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at verse 36 to 37 of the same Psalm 78. 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouths, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Can you see that? Yeah, in fact, verse 35 said, and they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God, their redeemer. Yeah, they remembered who God was to them. And then they flatter him. And then they lied unto him with their tongues. Yeah, like some people will say, oh, God is everything to me. I cannot do without him. I love him. I cannot fail him. I cannot disappoint him. I live for him forever. I please him forever. Now they see all those words with their mouth, but they are liars. Yeah, because what they see with their mouth is different. Is different from what their heart sees. Yeah, they profess to love God with their lips, with their tongues, but their heart does not love him. In their heart, they don't love him, but they say they love him. They even sing praises. Yeah, that's what that verse meant by they flatter him. They sing praises to him. But in their heart, they don't praise him because they have exalted other things above him. Yeah. What is the meaning of your praises to God when in your heart you have exalted something above him? Yeah. So that is no longer praises. That is flattery. Yeah, it's no longer praises. Yeah, because in your heart, God is not your Lord. He's not your master. In your heart, is not the controller, the ruler over your life. But then with your mouth, you are saying, oh, you are my Lord. And then you are singing praises. You are lying. Yeah, that's a lie. And, yeah, and that is what this generation is doing. That is what this generation is doing. Yeah, we are a bunch of liars. Yeah. We say what we don't mean. Yeah, and what we mean is not what we say. Yeah. And we think God does not know our intentions. Yeah. How can we be so foolish to think that the one who created us does not know our heart? The one who created the heart, the mind. How can we be so foolish to think he doesn't know our heart and intentions? Yeah, he knows all in the depth of all. Yeah, so we can't deceive him. Yeah, but I don't know why people think they can deceive God. Yeah, I pity them anyway. Yeah, so just as the generation of the rebellious Israelites were, so it is even now. People deceiving themselves, thinking they are deceiving God. Yeah, I pray that you will stop deceiving yourself in any way you may be doing that. I pray that you will maintain a right heart before God at all times, in Jesus' name. So, we saw in that place that they lied to God, they flattered him. Yeah. And verse 7 says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. May you be steadfast in his covenant, in Jesus' name. To be steadfast in his covenant means that you are doing your own part of the covenant. Yeah. You are living the life he has called you to live. So if we do our own part of his covenant, he also will do his own part of the covenant. He will fulfill his promises toward us. And he will help us, and he will heal us, deliver us, and save us. But if we do not fulfill our own part, then we should not expect that he will fulfill his own part of the covenant. Yeah. So if there is anything you are doing for God that is not with the right heart, or from your right heart, stop doing it. Don't waste your time. Stop wasting your time. Because you may not get the reward. Yeah. In fact, not even me. You're not going to get the reward. Yeah, because God, in fact, we'll still read that place. The Bible says, a double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. Yeah. Yeah, so make sure that your relationship with God is with a pure and perfect heart. Don't play games with God, and don't think you can hide anything from him. Yeah, you may succeed in hiding things from human beings like yourself, but you can't hide anything from the living God, the creator of the universe. You can't. It's impossible. So let us continue. In other words, what I'm saying is that if you still have some doubt towards anything, any spiritual thing, yeah, you still have your mind is wavering towards that thing. You're thinking, like, should I do this, should I not? Then just leave it, don't do it. Go and pray until you are sure of what you are doing. Yeah, go and pray. Yeah, or until you are sure. Yeah. Like some people, they were doing some spiritual things because others were doing the same. Yeah, so they also want to show that I too can do, I can do the same. For instance, maybe they saw a fellow brother or sister, very, you know, so dedicated and so committed to doing evangelism. And then they say, oh, I can do the same thing. Yeah, their motivation is just to show that they can do the same thing, not that they really want to win souls into the kingdom of God. Yeah, they saw the fellow brother or sister doing evangelism, winning souls. Yeah, they saw that believers succeeding in that assignment. And then they felt like, I can also do it. Not that they really want to win souls, but they just want to also show others that they can also do it. Yeah, maybe out of competition or pride. Maybe out of the spirit of competition or pride. Yeah, so their motive for doing the evangelism was not, you know, was not right. Yeah. Yeah, and then they will be expecting that God will reward such exercise. God will never reward such exercise. Because it didn't come out of a right heart. It didn't come out of a right motive. And then some people also, they saw the way others, some other other persons give to the church or to men of God. And then they also feel like, I have money, I can also do the same. Because they saw others doing that. And they also think in their heart, they can also do the same. Yeah, that is not the right motive. But that means it's not because they really love the people of God, love the ministry or love the church, or love the ministers of God. It's just because they want to show that what somebody did, because the person gave me the $10,000 or $5,000, so they also feel like I can also do the same. Yeah, so they also, you know, brought money and gave. Yeah, so that is with a wrong motive. That is from a wrong friend. Yeah. I hope you're getting my point. So the motivation was not that they really care about the work of God and wanted to support with their finances. That was not the motivation. The motivation was that they saw somebody else did it and then they also feel like, I can do the same. Yeah, because the motivation was their pride. Yeah. the motivation was their pride, not love. Yeah, not love. I believe you're getting the point. So if there is anything that you are doing, any spiritual exercise that you are doing, and you can sense that your motivation behind it is not right, stop it immediately, because it's a waste. Whether it's giving is a waste of resources. Yeah, stop it immediately. Whether it's anything in the church you are doing, yeah, or anything for the church or for God's people, yeah, or anything for God that you are doing, and then you notice that your heart is not really right towards that thing, or you're not doing it from a right heart, with the right motive, with the right motivation, then you should stop it immediately and go and pray till God gives you the right motive, or till you find the right motive. Yeah, the reason is because you can even get judgment from God if you don't stop doing that thing. Yeah, some people think, I so much love money that I can't correct their wrong attitudes and habits. Even their wrong intentions. Yeah, they thought I so much love the money they are giving me to the point that I will not correct their wrong motives and intentions and attitudes. Yeah, but they were shocked because I started to mention it out to them. Yeah, and then some of them, they stopped giving the money, and I was excited because even I don't want to spend that kind of money. Yeah, I don't want to spend that kind of money. Yeah, so we should be very careful what our motives are. Yeah, when it comes to our spiritual service to God, to reach exercises, and our relationship with God. Yeah, I don't know another way to explain it, but I believe you understand. So, let's move on. Let us look at Hosea. The book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 2. Hosea 10, verse 2. Their heart is divided. Now, shall they be found faulty? Okay, now shall they be found faulty? Yeah, their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. It shall break down their altars. It shall spoil their images. Yeah. This verse is still referring to the rebellious Israelites. their heart is divided. Yeah, God hates a divided heart. Even me, I hate the divided heart. Yeah, that is why, I said it before, I don't force people to do spiritual things. And that is also the reason why I say I'm done. Yeah. I said standards. I said rules. Yeah. Because I want anyone that will start going to do it because they really want to. Not because someone is pushing them to, or forcing them to, or compelling them to. Yeah, but because they really want to. Yeah, because I'm more sensitive to people's plans than they are facing. I am more sensitive to people's mind, people's thoughts, than their appearances and than their words. So that is why I don't have friends. I don't think I have friends except my wife. Yeah, except that I have brothers and sisters. Yeah, in the church. But talking of a close friend, I don't. Yeah. I don't. Yeah, because I would have spent the darkness in them even before they sees it. Yeah, and I would take some actions that they will not like because I see them for who they really are. And they don't know that I see them for who they really are on their inside. Yeah. So, if I hate the divided heart, how much more God? Yeah. So God hates when our hearts are divided. So what is a divided heart? Is a heart that I don't want to use confused. Yeah. But I can use the word disloyal. Yeah, is a heart that is disloyal. Yeah, that is a heart that have not really, or a heart that is not standing for one thing. So we don't really know where that heart is standing. Yeah, because the heart is showing signs that it's standing for the truth and for the light. And then it's also showing another sign that it's not standing fully for the light and fully for the truth. You know, the heart is also standing for something else, different from the truth. So that is a divided heart. And heart that is not fully after the Lord, fully for the Lord. Yeah, and have that is partly after God and partly after something else. Yeah, something else that is contrary to God. That is a divided heart. Yeah. An heart that have not really proven its loyalty to God. So God is not sure where such person belong. And that was like Jesus made a statement in saying, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Yeah. He was prophesying about what will happen in the last days, or what will happen after many, many years of his ascension. I mean, after he would have gone back to heaven, what will happen after a while or after a long time, which I believe now is already happening. What he said in Matthew 7, let us look at that claim. Matthew 7, I'm going to read, let me read from verse 21. Matthew 7, from verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. So the meaning of I never knew you is what we are talking about right now. A double-minded person, a divided heart. It's not as if God did not, Jesus doesn't know them. Yeah, I mean, talking of the normal knowing, like I can say, oh, I know Bro Charles. Yeah, because Bro Charles is here right now listening to me. I've talked with him before. I know him. Yeah, and maybe let's say I've seen him face to face, and I can say, oh, I know him. I know where he lives. I've seen him face to face. I even know his family background. I know his dad. I know his mom. I know his relatives, siblings, children. Yeah. That's not the kind of knowing that that verse is talking about. Yeah, Jesus knows those people. He knows their names. You know, how can you, the Creator, not know the people you have created? But the knowing that Jesus was talking about is this. Has to do with the fact that those people have not really proven their loyalty to him. Yeah, they have been divided in their heart. They have been double-minded. They have been wavering in their heart. That is the knowledge Jesus was talking about. So they have not really proven who they really are. They have not really proven who they stand for, what they stand for. So all they wanted was to use the name of Jesus to work miracles, to use the spiritual gift and the anointing to work miracles. That was all they wanted. They never wanted to please him. They never wanted to love him. They never wanted to serve him. They just wanted the power that comes from him or that comes through his name. That was all they wanted. Yeah. So So what Jesus meant by I never knew you is that I never knew your real intentions. Towards me. I never knew your real desire towards me. Yeah, I never knew who you really are. You have not demonstrated who you serve. You have not demonstrated who you are in the light. Let me put it like that. Because we know that they are deceivers. Yeah, but they have not really shown who they are in the light. Yeah, they have not shown that. They have not proven who they stand for or what they stand for. Yeah, that was why he said, I never knew you. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. Yeah, let me also give an example. Many of you know an animal called a chameleon. You know, chameleon changes color. If a chameleon is standing beside something with red color, the body of that animal will suddenly change to red instantly. So that was what Jesus meant by I never knew you. That is, those people, they were just changing color like chameleon. Yeah. They have no permanent desire for God. So which means they may desire God now, and tomorrow they are desiring something that is totally against God. Yeah, so God don't know who. It's not like you're just changing nature, changing color, changing personality, changing attitude, changing behavior, and then. Yeah, and then God is looking at you, and then he's thinking, who is this? I hope you understand. Yeah, because of too many changes in attitude, character, mindset. Habit, nature, and then God is just like, who exactly is this person? Yeah. And what exactly is this person standing for? Yeah. Are you on my side? Or you're on the enemy's side? Yeah, so those people have not really, really shown who they belong to. Yeah, because though God knows who they belong to, He knows they belong to the devil because He can see their heart. But then they pretend that they are for God today, and then secretly they are for some, you know, they appear to be for someone else or for the dark. And then they come back again. They show that they are God, they are God's child, or they are for God's kingdom. And then they do another thing that shows that they are not God's child, and they have never been God's child. Yeah. So that was what Jesus meant by, I never knew you. Yeah, because they are so inconsistent, and they are not. They are not serious. Yeah, they are just playing games with God. May you not play games with your Creator. Yeah, let God and heaven know who you really are. Let God and heaven know who you really serve and where you really belong. Yeah. If you want God, serve Him. And if you don't want God, leave Him. Yeah. Yeah, because those people in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, they were surprised. They thought the way they were playing their games, they thought they would be accepted in heaven. So even today, many Christians and ministers were shocked. Yeah, because when they died, they were shocked because Jesus rejected them, just as He said in that place we read. They thought that the fact that He was using them to perform miracles, they thought that qualified them to enter into His kingdom. Yeah, so they were disappointed. So don't wait till you cross beyond the grave. Yeah, don't wait till that time to choose who you want to be with, because it will be too late. Choose who you want to serve now and who you want to please now, and stop playing games. Yeah, I've said this several times, so let's continue. Now let us look at James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. James 1, 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yeah, can you see that? He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. Do you know what that means? When your heart is wavering, or your mind is wavering towards God, towards God's promise, towards the truth. Yeah. You become vulnerable to many forces, many dark forces. Yeah, you see, the pathway to victory is not all about fasting and prayer. The pathway to victory starts from your mind, from your heart. Yeah, so that is why I always make sure that even during our midnight prayers, I try as much as I can to include some short teaching. Yeah, so that people will not just come and pray and waste their time. Yeah, and then waste the prayers. Yeah, because it's not just about prayers and fasting. This the state of our heart is very important. In fact, that is the first priority when it comes to getting victory. You have to look at the state of your heart, the state of your mind. Yeah. If it is not right, pray about that first. Pray until your heart is right, until your faith is okay. Then when that is okay, then you cannot go ahead and pray the other prayer. But if you just put that aside and then you just go into prayer, you may just waste your time, all the hours wasted. Yeah. So when you are wavering in your heart towards the word of God, towards God's promise, towards the truth, when your heart is wavering, you become vulnerable to many dark forces. Then they start to come to take advantage of you. Because they sense it. Those demons, they sense it when your heart is unstable. Like the sea. They sense it immediately and then they start to come. Because that is the best time for them to confuse you and to deceive you and to mislead you. And in some cases, which I don't pray for that for you, they could even make a person commit suicide at that point when the heart is wavering. When the heart is wavering like the sea. A lot of demons start to rush because it's an opportunity for them. Yeah, when they see that you now start doubting whether the word of God is true or not. You now start to doubt whether Jesus is enough for you or not. Whether Jesus is strong enough or powerful enough to heal you or to deliver you or not. So, when you start to have those doubts, they know it instantly. It will send a signal into the spiritual realms. And all the demons will start to rush towards your mind. Yeah, because that is a very sweet opportunity for them. Yeah. Yeah, I pray that you will be strong in your mind in Jesus' name. Yeah, so it makes you vulnerable. Always remind this thing you are hearing now. Yeah, I mean, always remember this thing you are hearing now. When you start to feel the wavering, always remember that this is what the devil is looking for. He wants me to start to waver. Yeah, I always tell yourself that no matter what, I shall not waver. I shall not waver. Yeah, you begin to tell yourself that. And then you begin to say, I shall not give any chance to the enemy to spoil me, to damage me, to enslave me. Yeah, because that is when they start to come, to have their way. And some people, they have lost a lot of miracles because of wavering. Yeah, because of wavering. They had faith. 1 second, they had faith. And then the next second, the faith began to waver. And then the angels couldn't, because angels, they respond to faith. And then the angels couldn't move again. Yeah, because the faith began to waver. Yeah. And then the faith, and then it called, the wavering continued like that, and then the angel had to go back. Yeah. So if we don't waver, there is so much we will receive from the Lord. And then you are asking, what is wavering? Well, you're supposed to know what that means by now. Yeah. Is like uncertain. Yeah. When you're supposed to trust in the Word of God completely, you are still thinking maybe. You know, you're still thinking of maybe it can happen. Maybe it will not happen, or maybe it will happen. Maybe it will not happen. That is wavering. Maybe God will do it. Maybe God will not do it. That is wavering. Maybe I will succeed. Maybe I will not succeed. That is wavering. Yeah. When you are not fully sure of God's promises. Yeah, when you don't fully depend on God's promises and on God's word, I am still thinking, will it happen? Will it not? It is better that you don't waver and then you didn't get the blessing or the miracle, than you waver. Yeah, because if you don't get the miracle today, you're likely to get it tomorrow. Yeah, so in your relationship with God, don't think, I did that last year, trusted God with all of my heart, nothing happened. I didn't waver, but then nothing happened. So I don't think I should waste my time, or I should waste my faith. No. That is a very wrong mindset. Yeah, because even in the Bible told us of people that died believing God. They never got what they were believing for in their lifetime. They died in faith. Yeah, so it's not really about whether you get the miracle or not. It's about the fact that God is not a liar. And God does not change, and He does not fail. So if you waited and you demonstrated unwavering faith, and yet you didn't see what you wished for or what you were hoping for, yeah, it doesn't change the fact that God is true and is able. Yeah, it's just because something must have happened in the spiritual realm that was very important. So that is why, to know what is blocking the manifestation of your miracles, you have to continue in that faith, and you have to continue in the prayer. Eventually, the Holy Spirit will start to give you some directions and revelations. Yeah, to make you see what was actually going on in the realm of the Spirit that stopped the miracle. Like in the time of Daniel. Yeah, the angel that came to Daniel said, since the day you prayed this prayer, God has sent me. Since that since that very day to come with the answer. But then I met with some forces on the way, and I was battling with them for over 20 days. Yeah, until Michael came to help me. Yeah, so since you don't know what is going on in the invisible realms, don't just conclude that, oh, I trusted God for this, I prayed a lot for this, and then I didn't see any result, then it means maybe God doesn't want to do that in my life. God doesn't want me to have the miracle. Or maybe God doesn't have much power. If you happen to look at what some people are thinking in their hearts, you'll be surprised. Because some people are even thinking, oh, maybe God doesn't have much power as we thought he had. Yeah. So don't conclude like that, because you don't know what is going on in the invisible realm. Yeah. So the best thing to do is to continue to present that unwavering faith before God, to continue to trust him, and to fast and to pray. That is just the best thing to do. If you think you can just start to waver or start to doubt, and then start to look for an alternative way out using your own wisdom, then you're going to lose a lot of blessings, a lot, yeah, that God wants to release into your life. Yeah, because while you are waiting for a blessing, because God sees your faith, he will still be blessing you in other ways. You may not get what you want now, but God will still continue to take care of you till you get what you want. Yeah. So God is not a magician. Yeah. He's not a magician. Yeah, and he wants us to be involved in everything he's doing. Yeah, so he intentionally delayed the answers. Or let me say, sometimes he will intentionally delay the answers to our prayers, because he also wants us to be involved in what is going on in the realm of the spirit that is stopping the prayer. That is stopping the answers of the prayers from manifesting. Yeah, I pray that God will give you wisdom in Jesus' name. So you can see in that place, it says in verse 8, James chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, verse 7 and 8. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yeah, so God does not want to bless a double-minded man, someone whose heart is wavering. God does not want to bless that person. Because eventually, yeah, the reason why God does not want to bless that person is because he may not get the glory eventually. Yeah, because the person may not ascribe the glory to God eventually. The person may not consider God as the one who did the miracle. I believe you get my point. Because his mind is wavering. His mind is just going up and down. His trust in God is not stable. Yeah. So if God eventually did the miracle, you may think, well, maybe it's just a coincidence. Yeah. The person will just feel like, oh, I think it's just a coincidence. I don't think it is God that did this. I think it is just a coincidence. Yeah. is not God. So that is why God will not bless a double-minded person. Yeah, because he will not take the glory. The glory will be given to another God or to something else. Yeah, so that is why he loves to bless people that really believe in him, trust in him, and are waiting on him. I pray that you will not be a double-minded person, and that your heart and faith will not waver in Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, ask on the Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this privilege to be in your presence, learning from your word. Thank you for everything you have shown us this evening concerning neglecting and rejecting double-mindedness, concerning forsaking double-mindedness and wavering of heart, wavering of faith. Thank you for doing all these things. We pray forever in Jesus' name. We want to really serve you with a pure and perfect heart. We want to serve you with a heart that is right, that is 100% full of faith. Faith in your word. Faith in your promises. I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here such heart. Create in us such heart in the name of Jesus. We also don't want to give the devil a chance to come into our minds and hearts to confuse us, to pollute us, to deceive us, and to mislead us. Oh Lord, I ask that you help everyone here to never waver in our hearts, in our faith, in our trust in you, in Jesus' name. Have your way in our lives, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us to come to that place of complete trust in you, complete and total dependence on you, complete faith in you. Help us to come to that point where we doubt no more, where we fear no more, and where there is nothing like unbelief in us, where there is no rebellion, no disloyalty, no unfaithfulness, no inconsistency in us. Help us to come to that point in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.